what kind of experiences have you had or have you seen colleagues have within the industry that have kind of been affected by being a woman, particularly in the jazz scene, positive and negative?
The experience as a woman has been interesting, right? Because I used to be a man, right? And my first several years of playing, I identified as bi-gender, right? And so I was living a life as a man and going out and performing as a woman. And then now I identify as a trans female, right? So female, but my trans identity is a strong part of my identity. The best, worst, whatever, was this band I just mentioned. Let me just put the name on the band just so it's easier to reference them. So it's the Tom Noodley big band. And it's the same band that Jude was referencing the other day at rehearsal. I played with them, and it was my first time playing with them was sitting in at a gig, like no rehearsal or anything, which you have to have some confidence in the drummer to trust them to just do that. It's actually the same thing I did with Mood Swings. Just showed up and played a gig and sight read the night. And, you know, at intermission, somebody comes up to me and he's like, you play pretty good for a girl. And so then, like, I'm 6'1", right? And I still have some muscles, even though I don't have any testosterone anymore. So I just sit there and give him, like, my serious bitch face and looked down at him and at the top of his head. It was like, did you really just say that? You know, like, I can screw up my cues for you in the next half and make you sound like shit, you know? Like, you don't want to screw with the drummer. He, of course, didn't realize the absurdity of what he was saying, right? And I've had other reactions over the years where, especially before I really started transitioning, when I was more developed muscularly and I played with a more of a masculine edge, I would say, people would really comment on the power with which I played, whether it was a big band or with a small group quartet. You know, like if I was wearing a t-shirt, you know, if I'm often sideways to the group and they would see my muscles were I was never huge, but they were bigger. And I hit really hard for a woman, you know. Those are always interesting. In fact, I mean, I think oftentimes they motivated me to try to figure out how to adapt my playing, because at that period of time, it was really important for me to be accepted as female. Mm-hmm. And things that seemed like cross-gender expression back towards male, I was sensitive about. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I didn't want somebody to say you play like a guy because I'm just a woman playing. You know, I don't want to be read as a guy because of my playing, you know? And I think my playing has changed quite a bit over the years, especially playing with the Mood Swings, but also getting all that testosterone out of my body. Mood Swings is a very musical group. We're not a super powerful group.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's easy to fall into the stereotype, but I find it to be totally true, especially with trumpets. Like when you have male trumpets, their whole thing is about gathering up all their testosterone to blow as loud and high as they can. And we don't have that, you know? And so when you're watching a big band, sometimes that's what you want, is the band to really scream and explode. And Mood Swings doesn't do that. So like this other band I sat in with does that. My old band certainly did more of that. Like my old band, on average, the musicians made a similar comment at rehearsal the other day about the band I just sat in with, which I'm playing with a bit these days, that my old band had better musicians on average. You know, more people could solo well, but the band wasn't as good because it was more like 20 musicians playing at the same time as opposed to an ensemble. You know, some of it's musical direction, too. You know, Jude's an excellent musical director.
Mm-hmm.
She's really good at pulling the best music out of the band based on the talent that she has to work with. Or the other bands have less strong direction. You know, so it's just go play and go learn your part sort of thing. I do play. I play with smaller sticks and I play quieter than when I played with big bands that were predominantly male.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it affects how you have to, like, I'm not a drummer at all. So it affects how you have to respond to
the way
they play.
Yeah.
As a non-drummer, could you explain in a bit more detail about how the way you've changed your playing?
Sure. So it's about, The first thing is literally about force, quite literally about how hard I hit, and the use of, like really hard emphasis, like rim shots, like just like hitting the snare drum in a real certain way, or crashes that you really need to do in big band. But, you know, I've had to dial back, as I was mentioning, to fit with the band. Another aspect where I've really tried, especially in my quartet playing, is like different ways of getting different sounds out of the instrument that can be much more delicate. So there's this one drummer in the Boston area who is also female, who is a real role model for me. I mean, her playing is just amazing. And she pulls sound out of, like, where I'm like hitting a drum into submission and saying, make this noise. She's like asking permission and saying, you know, I'd really like for you to say this. And like physically, like when she's hitting, like instead of hitting through, like so you can kind of see, like, you know, play through, she's like pulling sound out of the instruments. And it's phenomenal. And the sound is crazy good. And so, you know, I've absorbed a little bit of that, and I'll often forget about it. But when I'm thinking about it, it's like, oh yeah, let's try to do with Mickey's thing, you know, where I can, you know, be more partnered with the instrument than the boss of the instrument, you know?
I like that. I like that idea. So you said the lady's name is Mickey.
M-I-K-I. Okay. Matsuki.
Matsuki. Okay, great. That's a really interesting perspective about how sound and gender very much kind of are tied together.
It's hard to figure out what to tease out. You know, there's like, because there's transition, there's time passing, right? Mm-hmm. There's playing a lot with a single band. So certainly my goals have changed, right? Like, you know, I was referring to my high school band was like the powerhouse, super technical band. And I would say I struggled for several years with the mood swings that I wasn't finding the music challenging enough, because I was used to just much more technical parts where there was a lot of stuff I had to pay attention to and I had to get it just right. And then over time, I started to find the challenge in making the music beautiful and period and those kinds of things, right? And so that's been a real significant shift in my playing and in my mindset. And like you see it, like you see that smile I put on when I perform. And it's half for me and it's half for the audience, because I love to bring the audience into the show. And I find that it helps, especially like if I'm somewhere that people can see me well. But it's like, it's literally me just reveling in the swing and in the groove. Yeah, even though I'm not doing anything, I'm just, you know, bang, dang, ga-dang, dang, ga-dang, dang, ga-dang, dang, ga-dang. But it's part of this band that's like really, you know, hitting it and really sounding good. And so that's been a big shift for me.
Are there any charts in particular at the moment that that are keeping you on your toes, that you're really enjoying?
One is Strike Up the Band is definitely the hardest tune in our book, I think. We just picked up a new one that we rehearsed the other night called Cute. That'll be fun. It's a feature for me. That'll actually push me, because the drum parts are all played with brushes. Those are like the wire things that we use. And I've always kind of sucked at brushes. And so now I was like, I got to buy a new pair of brushes and I got to practice and I got to learn how to do this stuff and come up with some more ideas. And so that'll be a lot of fun. And it's nice to get a chance to be featured a little bit, you know.
And what was your experience in the sort of going to jam sessions? How did that kind of play out?
Yeah. So the first jam session I went to was at this place called Amazing Things Art Center in Framingham. It's an art center, has a jazz jam one night a week. A friend of mine volunteered there and she recommended it to me. She said, oh, you play, you should come. And I hadn't played small group jazz in several years. Like when I moved to Massachusetts 19 years ago, I kind of dropped my playing. I did a little bit. I picked up with some people, but I might go 6 months at a time, you know. I eventually got into that big band, but I hadn't done any combo work. And so I knew her through my female expression at the time. So this was back when I was like I would present female once a week or once a month. Mm-hmm. And I was in some social groups there, like through LGBT women and groups like that. And that first night that I went there completely changed my life. Completely changed my life. Because, like, so here I am, this trans woman, but at the time I didn't know what I was or who I was, right? I was just born male and I was presenting female. And I had no idea if I would be accepted by society, where I wanted to go in my life. And I went and people interacted with me as a human. And I was judged based on the quality of my playing. And I came home that night. Sorry if I start crying. Wow. I came home that night. I looked in the mirror at myself and said, holy shit, I could do this if I need to. Like, I could pull it off. And that was, my God, that was probably 2000. Hold on a sec. 2000. 10, maybe? 2009, 2010, something like that. I was probably, yeah, maybe even earlier. I was still married and, you know, just trying to figure out how to fit this cross-dresser thing into my life as a straight married man, father of a young child. And that was really, really powerful for me. I had no plans to transition. I didn't think I'd ever need to, but to look and say, yeah, there's a world where I can be just accepted as who I am. And my friend who sent me there knows that. Like, I've told her so many times. And that's where my jam session is that I host. So after doing that for about a year, one of the groups, there's like each group has its week, like second week of the month, third week of the month. The drummer left and the piano player asked me to take over the drum chair. And that was intensely validating. So now here I am, like, and I have an identity, and I'm recognizable, and I'm public. And I'm legitimized as a musician because I was picked to go from the people who pay to come to the person who is paid to be up there on the stage. And that was a huge boost in my confidence, both as a musician and as a woman. It was awesome. And then I spent a ton of time, when I first divorced, my life went from being full-time family man to half-time parent, and
oh, no.
With me half the time. So every other Sunday, when my kid wasn't with me, I would go to jazz jam sessions, and I might be there for two sessions from like 4 o'clock till 11 o'clock. Then I started to build community and get to know people, and you know, build an identity as a woman in a community. That was really, really good for me.
And the people that you made connections with there, like, are you still in contact with them?
Yeah, some of them, it's like we just cross paths through jazz circles. There's one guy who just calls me out of the blue every once in a while, tells me he's thinking of me. He knows that I'm trans. Like, I was never out as trans in these circles. People could read me however they wanted to, mm-hmm. you know. But I didn't self-identify as trans. I was just female presenting. So he'll call me every once in a while. This is an older guy, probably about 80 years old, African-American guy, lives near the city, and just see how things are going. And there's a few other guys from his circle of friends who come out to my jam occasionally. There's somebody else who is a phenomenal, phenomenal drummer whose wife works with me. And so, like, I connect through her to him occasionally, and it's totally off topic, but a funny story. When I was she's in HR, I was transitioning. I had to go meet with a bunch of different people and take care of paperwork and all kinds of stuff. And I met with her, and she like photocopied my new ID, all sorts of like the name change stuff. And then she comes in, she's like, I was talking to my husband last night about this interesting experience at work, you know, with you transitioning. And he's like, oh, I know her. So she knew my male side from my professional career. He knew my female side from my music career. He's like, she's a really good drummer, you know. It's like, that was super cool. That was cool.
Did you say Arlington Arts, where you run the
my jam session is, it's called Amazing Things. Art Center, it's in Framingham.
Framingham, sorry. Yeah. And so how often do you run that? Is that still like a monthly?
Yeah, that's once a month. So I was in the band, you know, somebody else led the band for years, and then he retired. He was like 90, quite literally, eight. And then I got a call from the woman who ran it and said, Michelle, do you want to take over the jam session? And so that was maybe 3 years ago or something like that, 3-4 years ago. So like, sure, I've never been a band leader, but like, so that's why, like, let me see if I can find a band. So I emailed all my friends from work who I played with. They were all available, so we'd do that. So we did that for a couple of years. And then the guys all quit within the span of a couple of months of each other. And it was perfect because in that time I had been, when I had other gigs, I would reach out to different musicians and I'm like, I really wish I had Diane in my band. I really wish I had Alice or Tal. And so that was a chance to like galvanize around these women that I had been playing with who I really, really admired and sort of reshape the band. So then I led that band with those guys like a year or so. But I'm not a band leader, and the piano player in the band really stepped up and was functioning as a band leader and musical director. So I handed it over to her late last year to take over, but still doing it. So I go play, but I haven't, I don't lead it.
And would you say that the transition between it being a mixed gender group to an all female group, would you say sort of the people coming and volunteering to jam with you has changed?
I don't think so. Whenever you bring new blood into the band, you get this little window of time where they bring their people.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't connect their people to their gender. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Tom might bring in her daughter, or Diane might bring in some students, and they're whatever gender they happen to be, you know, for instance. I don't think we've landed as, like, this is the one where women are going to show up mm-hmm. For instance. For some reason, I tend to get a crap load of drummers, but they might come every week for all I know, you know.
And is there, I was talking with another member about sort of like jam sessions and how they've been sort of denied the chance to jam by sort of male musicians or sort of like being like, oh, you're a singer. And they're like, yeah, I'm a trumpet player.
I'm totally used to that. You know, I don't have a horn, so when I would show up for jam session, I just have a stick bag, which is subtle, and if they don't see it, they just assume I'm the piano player or a singer. And then there's like one of the guys who leads jams, who's like old boys club. You know, he just calls his friends up and doesn't worry about a sign up sheet, and so you'd have to be kind of pushy to like, hey, I'm here, you know, I'd love to play a little bit too. And I eventually stopped going to his jams because I just didn't get enough time and it didn't feel fair. And so like when I've run my jams, I've always been like, you sign up, I'm just going to go in order. I'm going to see drummer's got two songs and then the next drummer's going to come up, you know, and then after everyone's had a bunch of time, then we'll loosen things up and, you know, whatever. But I've tried to make sure it was just very methodical and predictable and fair. But oh yeah, it's funny, I hadn't even thought about those experiences because it's been a while. But yeah.
So there used to be an all-female student jazz jam over at Berkeley.
Oh wow!
Since dissolved. Would you think that would be a useful thing to have in the community in Boston, to have an all-female jam session?
Oh my God! Yeah, I mean, jam sessions for me can be really, really intimidating. You know, like you find one that feels like home and you're like, okay, I can do this. So I had a couple of home jam sessions that I felt very comfortable in. But I've always been sort of afraid of going to sessions like in Boston just because the musicians would kick my ass. You know, and sometimes it's good. You want to just go get your ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to go, like, my working assumption would be that if I went to a jam session that was all women, I could get my ass kicked musically and they would be supportive and help me get better. You know, where they wouldn't just dismiss me to the curb, you know, and I wouldn't have to, you know, you with a more typical jam, you know, I think you might be a little bit more likely to get the, they're not expecting much from you, you know, as a woman drummer, especially when you come in. So, yeah, it would be awesome. I mean, I also just seek out female spaces just because that's where I've always been most comfortable.